Hey y'all, I'm going to look today at Luke chapter 21 and Jesus' continuing description of the things that were to come pretty quick. We'll start in 21:25. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So in Luke's discussion of these issues, he's focusing almost exclusively on the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, even though there are elements of his warnings there that apply to Christians at all times, at all places. He's focusing specifically on this, on the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. There's a number of things here that I want to discuss. One is the sun, the moon, and the stars. I don't think we're meant to take this as a wiping out of the cosmos. In Scripture, the planets, the stars, they all symbolize rulership. So if you go all the way back to the beginning of the book in Genesis, it says that he put the stars, the greater light in the day, the sun, and the lesser light in the night, the moon, and the stars, and that they were to be clocks and lights. And it also says they were to rule over the day and over the night. So they're rulers. So in Scripture, astronomical elements are symbolic of rulership. They're symbolic of rule. And think about how this comes up throughout the Scripture. Remember Joseph's dream. He dreams of himself as, I believe it's the sun, and the rest of his family bows down to him. His brothers are obviously offended at that. Several places in Scripture that describe the sun and the moon being darkened are referring to the changing of the guard, the turning of the world upside down, the starting of a new order. So, for example, in Joel chapter 2, it says this. Joel says, on the day of the Spirit, that the sun and the moon will darken. Here's where he says it. And I will show you wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Well, that coming, we know in the New Testament, is describing Pentecost. So, what rules, what rulers are being cast down? What stars and planets are being cast down in this case? Well, I would suggest that what Jesus is referring to here are several things. One, he's referring to the end of the order of worship and the old covenant that was connected to the temple. The temple was torn down in 70 AD, never to be rebuilt. So there's a mosque there now. So that whole world was done away with. And to those who've lived in their worlds, that was like the cosmos collapsing. All their reference points are gone. But also notice that there's all kinds of turmoil in the political world as well. And I think that is symbolized in the darkening of sun and moon and stars. And this brings us to what role Jesus has in all this. And I would suggest that the sun, the moon, and the stars are darkening, are falling. Jesus is the new sun, right? He, in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension to the Father's right hand, is now in the place of ruling from heaven. He's in the place of rulership in heaven. He is ruling at the right hand of the Father. And I think this is backed up when you look at the origin of this statement about the Son of Man receiving power. This comes from Daniel 7:13-14. In that context, it says that the Son of Man, or one like the Son of a Man, is presented before the Ancient of Days and is given power and authority and dominion. I would suggest that the Spirit was communicating through Daniel when, in the future, Christ, having defeated death and sin on the cross and being raised from the dead, ascends to the right hand of the Father. So what we're seeing is Jesus replacing the old systems, and he is the one ruling and given rule by the Father. But what's very interesting is that means we are too, all right? So, yes, Joseph had a dream about his family's planets, but in the New Testament, there's lots of language that the people of God are to shine like stars. Let me just use one example in Philippians 2. Paul says, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Actually, it says, among whom you shine as stars in the world. So because of our faith in Christ and our connection to Him, Paul says we're seated with Him in His place of rule. So even now, He's sharing with us His rule. And that, of course, is the kingdom of God. And we are called, though we are seated in heavenly places, we are called to live in harsh, difficult circumstances and shine forth the character and the rule of God in those contexts. And being rooted in heavenly places is how we do that. It is through worship and through a constant return of our heart to the place where Christ rules at the right hand of the Father over all. Jesus keeping His gaze on that, that is what helped Him to go through His whole ministry and carry out the very difficult things He was called to do. So we're called to do the same. We're called to behold the risen, victorious Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, shining and ruling now. And as we behold Him, our faces reflect that glory, and our deeds reflect His deeds and His heart. So it's as we become like Him. And I think this is why it says, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is near. We are being redeemed, and our redemption is near because we, it says, are connected to Christ. We're in union with Him. We have access to the Holy of Holies. That is our redemption, and we can live out of that place and not out of circumstances, which none of us can ultimately control. But we can, like Paul, find the secret of being content in whatever circumstances we are. So, may we fix our eyes on Him, fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. May we learn to fix our eyes on Him, to behold Him, and allow that to be the anchor of our souls in whatever life hands to us. Amen.